Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? It's the show where you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything and we're bound to answer. Starring Rick Nash, Corporate King, and the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey. It's Ask Low Blows.
Guys, we have a crazy busy show this week. The Walking Dead was back, and we're going to start doing our weekly recap of it. Towards the end of the show, don't worry if you haven't seen it or you have no interest. It will be done in a way where you can just skip it if you don't want to hear it, and you still get your dose of Ask Low Blows. But in the meantime, it's myself, Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, and Dom Tuck joining you as per use. And it's the show where you control what's on the agenda. As always, we are answering your questions. You can ask us absolutely anything, and we will answer. Starting with yet another Desert Island Dilemma, Kento, David Kent of Buzz.ie, the Daily Star, and generally of Irish media. Are you joining us on the line again?
Yeah, happy enough. I took your advice from last week. It was maybe a little bit dark. So you get some treats this week.
Okay, good stuff. So no tigers swimming in the Mediterranean Sea haunting us as we have to make arbitrary decisions then, correct?
No. It's a lot happier.
Good stuff. Okay, another Desert Island Dilemma. Feel free to set the scene whenever you're ready, Kendall.
Well, the hurricane has ended. You've decided to get out of the cave. You don't want to be there with Joe Exotic anymore. So you leave him, you leave the Stars of Tigres behind, you leave Tony the Tiger behind, and you continue back to your base camp. But while you were gone, while you were sheltering in the cave, a care package has landed there in your absence. So what would you rather have pop out of this magic box? First up, leather gloves or a beanie hat?
Okay, Dom, we'll start with you. What of those is appealing?
I think I'll just go with the beanie hat because isn't it a thing where like if your head is covered, then it helps like regulate the temperature of your body?
Yep. We've had this debate on the show. I think Katie disagrees with this theory. She's wrong, but like, yes, you're correct.
She's always wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that then.
Katie, I'm right when I say that you disagree that you shouldn't cover your head.
I think I might've just been contrary when I disagreed because I wear a lot of hats for that reason.
So. I do. I remember it now.
Was I talking about my ears being covered? Maybe I was talking about my
earmuffs.
Ears.
It was earmuffs. Yeah.
Yes.
Earmuffs. Yeah. Yeah. I have a question. I need some clarification.
Go for it.
How many snakes are in the base?
There are zero snakes in the base. Snakes can't survive in cold weather.
Okay. Get these motherfucking snakes out of my motherfucking mountain.
Okay, just checking. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Thanks. I was going to pick leather gloves so I could wrangle the snakes out of the base, but that's not a concern anymore.
Okay.
Dom, there's always going to be animals around. We're in the wilderness, okay? You just have to keep your head on straight.
Okay, Bear Grylls.
I'm still going to pick the leather gloves because I think they're more effective for like clearing brambles or, you know, just if you need to touch things, more hygienic. So I'm going to pick the leather gloves.
Everything I wear ever, so whatever scenario I'm in, even if I'm going to bed, I always wear something with pockets. It's just something that I'm obsessed with constantly. So I'm going to have somewhere to put my hands. So beanie hat all day. I'm going to freeze my ass off my head first, but then later my ass, if I don't have a beanie hat. Whereas leather gloves, I can just put my hands in my pockets. Always an option. And the main objection to gloves as well is I can't use my phone. I won't want to use my phone as well. So I'm just I won't be able to. I probably won't get signal, I assume, on this mountain. Otherwise, I'd be saved. So, I won't need to take my hands out of my pockets. Beanie hat all day.
Good choice. Next up, access to fresh water every day or a fresh set of clothes every day.
Katie, what are you thinking?
Now, first, I was thinking that fresh water every day is the obvious answer to stay alive, right? But we're probably going to have ways to sterilize our own water. You know, we can boil it and stuff to get fresh water. So maybe fresh clothes would be more beneficial because after you've worn a set of clothes, you can use the material to create things like fishing nets and parachutes. Maybe not a parachute. I probably wouldn't trust a parachute made out of a pair of jeans. But like,
yeah, definitely don't jump off the mountain with that.
That's what all the tigers tried.
You could use like what do they call it, tourniquets and stuff if anyone got injured. So like, I just think you'd get more mileage out of having spare material. Whereas, and we could still get our own fresh water.
You just want to sew. You just want an excuse to sew and take up a hobby. Look, it's your choice. It's your care package. So, like, no judgment. Dom, what are you thinking about this?
I'm going to go with the fresh water.
Yeah. Okay. Kendo, like, you didn't stipulate in the question. Is it fresh clothes? I get a fresh set every day or just
fresh
one?
Set every day. I should have included every day after fresh okay. set of clothes also.
Okay, that makes it interesting, because otherwise if it was just one fresh set of clothes, I'm like, well, I'm going to be manky in a week anyway, so I'm going to take the thing necessary for my survival. I'm still going to take the thing necessary for my survival. The reason behind it is because it's necessary for my survival. You're assuming you're going to find something to boil your water. Do you think there's kettles and power sources just hanging out in a mountaintop?
No. Like, we're stranded here.
Fire. Like, nah. It's frozen. It's frozen.
There, Katie.
Where are you making these fires?
How is it frozen? It's not frozen. You don't have hurricanes in frozen places.
I remember this being a snow-tipped mountain. We're on the top of a mountain.
Yeah, Siberian mountaintop.
So if it's a snow-tipped mountain, do you not think I could get water from the snow?
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to depress myself and go, oh, I'm so toasty in my new hoodie, but I'm trying to drink snow. I think I feel pretty good about the water, and talking about it has only made me feel better about the water.
Yeah, there was one very good point made, because my missus likes to do these as well. She pointed out that with the fresh water, you can wash the clothes you're wearing.
Oh yeah.
So therefore, you can kind of, like, they won't get dry and you're probably freeze to death, point. But you still wash it. Right.
Does Shannon want to come on sometime? Like, Shannon sounds better at this than us, I'm not going to lie. She's instantly trumped
choices,
any answer we've ever
some
come
of her
up
choices
with.
Are magnificent, others less so. She's in the other room now, so it's fine. Next up, and this I must stipulate again, you will get the television. So you have half an hour of television. You don't get to pick what's on, but you have a television there. Or snow boots.
Snow boots. You'll just be depressed after the half hour.
Yeah, what if you got something shit? Or what if you got something that ended on a massive, massive cliffhanger, like an episode of WandaVision, and then you were just, like, stuck?
Well, this is life now.
I guess I'll spend the rest of my week wondering. Or, yeah, like, the first, like, half an hour of a match. Or worse, like, the, like, 15 minutes of build-up to a match, and then 15 minutes. It's just like, this is awful. This is torture. Even if it's a really good show, it's like, And then it's like, do you want to continue? Well, tough. Oh, versus, again, something possibly necessary for my survival. I don't find this that difficult either.
Like, it just cuts off as Martin Tyler goes, and it's live! Oh, no!
Stupid build-up.
Next up, Debbie Keitel or Valkyrie?
Katie.
This is so weird.
Yeah, straight to Katie.
Look, obviously,
this is not a friendship point. It's just on a more survival point here.
On a survival point, Debbie Keitel would absolutely keep me alive. She'd keep me alive, yep. Organized, educated, yep. Fed, clean. Like, she would, like, if we form some kind of island commune, that's who you want as your leader, is Debbie Keitel. Valkyrie can sniff a cocktail out of anywhere, though. So, you know, like, she'd be like, we'll just get them coconuts down and we'll just, you know, like, you could make it work. I mean, you wouldn't survive very long, but you'd have stories. So you just have to weigh up your priorities. Dom, you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm saying is true. But I do want to survive, so I think Debbie would keep me alive.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Debbie's an easy choice here, actually, when you put it that way. When you made it about survival, you took all the intrigue away. You should have said, like, no, nothing to do with the mountain, just who do you like more out of your friends? Well, yeah, no, dying within an hour of Valkyrie's there, I feel. Debbie would like find ways to make coffee and stuff like that. So yeah, no, it'd be Debbie all day.
Masters or Panadol?
Dom, what are you thinking?
I'm just gonna go with the Panadol. I don't know why. Just, you know, feels that way.
Right. You expecting to have a lot of headaches up there, yeah?
Yeah.
With all the cocktails, I mean.
If you bring Valkyrie, like, that's like one of these choose your own missions. You know what I mean? It's a completely different set for if you choose Valkyrie over Debbie Keitel. Katie, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going Panadol because I think with all my extra sets of clothes, plasters would be redundant because I can make my tourniquets and my bandages. So I'm going to go Panadol.
I'm going to go with that reason too.
I'm going to go plasters because I'm not going to be a little knitting weirdo. Like, everything's fine. Just knitting away there. Knitting yourself. Katie, you've knitted yourself to your jumper. you've achieved nothing. Everything's fine. We're all going to get saved soon. It's fine. I don't think I'm going to be that, so I'm going to go for the plasters. I don't anticipate. Headaches aren't a massive thing. Whereas I feel like I'm going to fall and slip a lot and I need the passes.
Your favorite meal or a treat for your co-host? And before you bend the rules here, the treat for your co-host can't be their favorite meal.
No, my favorite meal all day.
Domino's.
Whatever it is, I'm taking the thing from me, not them. Like, it's survival of the fittest there.
Yeah, bit of toothpaste on toast.
Yeah, like, I feel I could pick the co-host option and it would still get me zero goodwill. It would get me no reprieve from the abuse. It would have no direct benefit. I mean, they might even throw the wrappers at me. I'm not sure. So I'm going to pick a meal.
It stopped for 30 seconds.
While you were eating and then it would start again. So I'm gonna pick a meal and I'm going to pick a pizza.
That image is kind of funny where we're just like, hey guys, you know, I've went out and got you a treat. Oh, thanks, Katie. You know, you're welcome. I feel like we shut up, Katie. I'm trying to eat here.
Like, you called me a knitting weirdo not 30 seconds ago.
Everything is fine. Everything. Do you mind? I'm trying to eat my favorite meal that you got me, Katie. Everything is fine. Dom, what about yourself?
Yeah, I'm going my favorite meal. I'm selfish.
Yeah, fuck it. Go for it. We've all like sold each other out. I like it. What's next, Gato?
Matt LeBlanc or Matthew Perry?
This is easy. Matthew Perry all day.
Really?
Yeah, he's the funniest one on Friends.
Yeah, but in real life.
In real life,
this isn't Chandler Bing.
He seems like a nice, chill, funny guy in real life, too.
Mm. I reckon he's very Republican. I'm not to base that on, but
I mean, he's got rich, a feeling. Probably is.
He's rich. Yeah, he's older. I feel like he's going to ruin Friends on me. I feel like I know what I'm getting. If you've watched episodes, you know what you're getting with Matt LeBlanc. He is joking.
Yeah.
Which, if you haven't watched episodes, just watch episodes. It's very, very good. He is Joey in real life, which would be, I wouldn't let him hang around with my wife. But I'd like to hang out with him. I reckon we'd be buds. And I reckon there's no strings attached. I don't think he's going to come out with like a problematic political opinion. I don't think he's going to ruin Friends on me. I think he's only going to enhance it. Matt LeBlanc here.
Yeah, same.
Matthew Perry is actually a liberal Democrat, I'll have you know.
Mm. Oh, wow. So,
yeah, and he's Canadian.
Huh. Okay, well, he's not going to be that difficult. Okay, well, look, maybe I'm right. I still feel like the risk of ruining Friends, which is a serious concern in all aspects of my life and in life-threatening situations still, is higher with Matthew Perry than Matt LeBlanc. Maybe the benefits are higher if he's Chandler. If they're both their characters, then I'd probably rather hang out with Chandler. But I feel like Matt LeBlanc is going to be closer to his character. That makes sense.
Next up, Justy or donut thief Adam Farrell?
Oh, definitely Justy. Like, how can you trust Adam Farrell after what he pulled?
What if your favorite meal is donuts? You could never
see you're screwed.
Like, you just see him running out of the tent in the middle of the night with a donut on each finger, just like cackling in the moonlight. like some sort of donut Grinch. Like,
it sounds like he's the villain on the back of a cereal box.
That is exactly what I'm picturing right now.
In my head when I wrote it, I was like, you know, Swiper from Dora the Explorer. That's just Adam Power slowly getting closer to a box of offbeat donuts.
See, and the thing is, if you have Debbie Keitel there, who notoriously loves donuts, they're not good people to have together on your team. Whereas if you pick Justy, you know Debbie is the only person that can keep him in line.
That's fair. But also, I'm actually going to pick Adam Farrell here. Reason being, I hate being stuck in like a small group with a couple. Do you know what I mean? Not in a bad way.
That's
like,
fair.
Like, if it's like, I'm going to be with these people for hours upon hours upon hours constantly. And then it's a couple, I feel like I'm just going to get left out of conversation a lot. I feel like they're just going to be like, that's like, what's going on, guys? Ah, you wouldn't get it. I'm like, oh. I'm like, Adam Farrell.
You've got Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, I know. And like, don't worry, we would have quite the romance. But also, I feel like Justy is a threat in my Matt LeBlanc because he's very charismatic. Do you know what I mean? So he might take Matt LeBlanc's contribution and Justy might make me miserable here. Whereas I feel like I'm going to be more popular on Matt LeBlanc than Adam Farrell. I feel like me and Matt are going to click better then. Because Joey's a big food guy, so he's not going to like food thieves. Remember, Joey doesn't share food. So Adam Farrell and him are going to be on the outs. I'm not going to get left out. Whereas I feel like if I was with... Justy and Debbie Keitel are there for an eternity, I feel like it's just they're just going to hang out. I don't feel they're going to be any benefit to me. I've just paired them off. I've just match made for no particular reason. So I'm gonna go for the selfish pick again.
To be fair, Adam would be very, very entertaining to have because you just tell him stories and his mind would get blown every single time. Because in real life, you tell him something that like isn't that surprising, and he'd be like, "Really? Oh my god!
Whoa!" I miss Adam.
I'm so happy he's become like a character here on the show for no particular reason.
Oh,
amazing.
Last up, a radio or a phone which only has Spotify and you can only press shuffle once a day. So you can have a soundtrack and you haven't played it all day, but you can only press shuffle once.
I don't like I'm a DJ, so I tend to pick the order. Like and I make this choice every day, like so. Like, yeah, no, so not being able to press shuffle it doesn't matter to me that much. So yeah, no phone. And I have a phone then. So
it's only got Spotify on it though.
Yeah, I'd hack it. I'd fancy my chances. Even if you told me that that's the only rule, I'd have fun trying to hack it. I just got a new computer in work, which like has less features than my old computer. And I spent the entire day trying to hack it. Now, like an IT expert has gone through this to make sure that that is not possible. Not that I'm trying to hack the computer, but I'm just trying to like figure out, can I get games on it or something? And like, I can't, I won't be able to, but I enjoy the attempt. You know what I mean? I enjoy the challenge. The phone with Spotify is an easy win for me. Katie, what are you thinking? You seem like a radio person.
I think that putting on the air that you're trying to hack your work computer is a mistake.
I'm not. That's why I clarified. I'm not trying to hack it, okay? I'm trying to...
your exact soundbite is that you're trying to hack it. Don't think you'll be able to.
Jimmy, please don't tell.
But you're enjoying, but you're enjoying the challenge.
Look at the shot.
I am a big radio person, but I'm a big podcast person, so that's why I could also go for Spotify. But I do enjoy listening to the radio, Dublin City FM in particular. I enjoy listening to, but I don't know, it would be depressing listening to my favorite traffic show while I'm on a mountaintop.
I don't think you're going to get the signal. I don't think they have like the really specific signal they set out where it's like, we cover Dublin City and Siberian mountaintops.
Well, I do love a good radio discussion. I love being in the car listening to the radio and then talking back to the radio and then try to drag Phil into the conversation. You know, like, it's, I love it. I don't get that with podcasts. Yeah, I'm going to go for the radio.
You're really born to have a discussion show yourself, I suppose. Look at it. It was always destiny that up here. Kendo, excellent stuff as possible. Look, Jimmy's using his work laptop for Football Manager. See, that's what I meant. It's okay.
Jeez, the rotten out straight away.
I'm taking you with me. Kendo, thank you as always. Very entertaining stuff. Really enjoyed that. I love these. These will never get old for me. More Adam Farrell, please, as well. Moving on, guys, to your questions. Dave Bandana, who's in the chat as you speak, asked, I've recently began to have a fondness. Please do not fondle your lentil chips. He's had a fondness for lentil chips. So what I'd like to know is, what's the most unusual or unconventional food or drink that ended up being one of your favorite meals? Dom.
I don't really have an answer for this, because I am a really, really plain eater. Like, I actually can't stand spicy food. Like, I just find it disgusting. So, like, I eat really, really plain. I can't drink hot drinks either, as weird as that sounds. Like, I just find them disgusting. So, yeah, I don't have an answer for this. I'm just way too conventional.
Okay, you definitely have an answer for this.
I don't think I do, because I'm quite a picky eater as well. But then there's things that I think are really normal that then other people are like, that's weird. Like, when I went to school, I don't know if we've talked about this before, like, every day I used to get digestive biscuits with jam in the middle, made like a sandwich. Like, that was my school lunch every day for about 6 years. And I loved that, like, but apparently that was a real weird thing to get instead of a sandwich. But it's what I would eat. And, like, that's something I still enjoy now. But I am quite a picky eater. It's not unusual, but I suppose the amount of orange things that I eat would probably be a little bit abnormal. Like, I did the shopping on Sunday, and, like, I bought a big bag of oranges. I bought a big case of orange drinks. I bought orange flavored chocolate, orange flavored ice cream. I bought orange juice. Like, I just, nice. I love things that are orange flavored. Like, show me something flavored with orange and I will eat or drink it. So it's not,
I'm the same.
It's not that unusual, but, like, the quantity which I consume is unusual.
The second you walk into your kitchen, it's like blinding from the orange.
I eat vitamin C tablets because they're nice, like, not because I need them.
If anything, I have too much vitamin C. Yeah, people freak out whenever I tell them I like steak and kidney pies, because they're just like, kidney, But, like, yeah, no, it's something that it's not that common these days, but I really enjoy it, because I think my parents had them when they were kids, so they fed it to me, so now I've got a taste for them. But people freak out, but I'm a plain eater as well. I've gotten really into you know, the little balls they have? They're just like,
oh, the pinballs.
Pinballs, that's the word, yeah. But I'm really into them. I don't think they're weird, but, like, I don't know many other people who eat them regularly. That's been my new lockdown. Nice. Yeah, they're great. They're unbelievable. Just balls of sugar. Ridiculous. Like, so bad for you and contributing to my ever-increasing COVID stone. But I can't be mad when I'm eating them. They make me happy. So that and steak and kidney pie for me. Steak and kidney pie, some mash and a decent drink. Yeah, there you go. Kendo, I totally agree with that. You have to have mash with it. Throw some peas in there. It's good, squishy. Dave would have chocolate orange whole food shakes in the morning. And giant orange Skittle a few weeks back. You said you wanted it. Dave says he'll never fondle his chips. It's good to know, Dave. Good to know. Thanks for your question, Dave. Simpsons WWE got on and said, pick your own superpower and explain why you and your co-host pick your weaknesses and also explain why. So what's your superpower, Dom?
Well, anyone that's played The Last of Us will know about this, but if you haven't, the main character, Joel, has this, like, ability. Like, if he's pressed against a wall and there's, like, zombies around him, he can put his ear against the wall and somehow the zombies will just appear in, like, a big glowy silhouette. So he can see them with his ears, if that makes any sense. So I'm going to go with Joel's ability from Last of Us 1 to see with your ears.
Okay. What's Dom's weakness? Interesting.
He has detachable ears.
Yeah. So how would that be used against him?
Because the zombies could just knock his ears off and then they can't, he can't see slash hear them anymore.
Very strategic thinking zombies, to be fair. Like, you'd swear you hadn't spent the past 2 months of your life watching The Walking Dead.
Those damn clickers, though.
The clickers, yeah, fuck. They are just all ears. What are we... Right, so Dom's weakness. I don't know what your weakness is, Dom. You seem pretty invulnerable. Wrestling. Like, win-loss record isn't the best, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean? Very entertaining wrestler, very good wrestler, but winning is just seems to be just the final trick that is eluding you at this stage. So it's just like, again, getting the three count.
I'll have you know.
Okay, that's actually a really good comeback.
Did you roll up Liam Royle? I must have forgot that.
No, but it was my plan.
That's a real Negan thing to say.
you also pinned Justy. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so,
that's true.
Yeah, things are turning around. Okay, this is fair. I'm going to go with it, though, because I can't think of anything else. Right, okay. So, I don't know. Katie, have you got any superpowers you can think?
I want whatever Wanda's superpower is. I want the ability to just create things.
Yeah,
control energy. Is that what she does?
I don't know. Like, what? Like, she's the Scarlet Witch now, we know, off the last one. So, like, and we always knew her as that anyway, but it never had actually been said. So, I think she can do a bit of everything. I think she's just a witch. I think that's what the last episode established. Because, like, even when, like, they started going into at the start, and we won't get too into spoilers, but, like, I hope you have seen this if you're listening and you care. But, like, they had that bit where Agatha went into, and here's how you did this. And they started going into the different tricks she used. And I'm like, oh shit, like there's actually thousands of little tricks. Cause yeah, you do just think of it as one Wanda power, but like it's actually built up of, she's instinctively got like thousands of little tricks that she pulls off. So she's just a witch. So you'd want to be Wanda, is that pretty much it?
Yeah, I'd want to be Wanda. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Original, huh?
What do you think for weaknesses, Dom? I feel like you'd enjoy answering this about Katie.
Well, I think we already know it. It's because it's she doesn't have an original thought for herself.
Oh my God. Many people have accused me of this. Can I use this to be like to my advantage, and I can be some sort of like chameleon? So I'm never original. I just take other people's things.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. That can be your weakness power if you want. Would you? I take the Wanda thing personally, but if you want to do that, then that's fine.
Like I accidentally walk like by Dom and turn into a member of the Midcard Mafia. I just take on their form.
I still feel like they rejected. Like that'd even if you turn into Devin West, like yeah. They just be like, "Sup, Katie." They just know. For superpowers, I had an answer for this, but it's getting late and I can't think of it. Superpowers. I don't know. I'm trying to think of Avengers now as well. I think we've all like looked at Spider-Man and thought, but like here's the thing, like I'm so lazy these days. Like when I think of going for a run and stuff like that, I'm like, can I just not? So like as much as I like think I'd like to bounce around from building to building and stuff like that, I'd probably get really lazy with it and I'm just like, no. But I suppose you would burn a lot of calories and it'd be fun. Do you know the way when you play sports, you burn a lot of calories without realizing because you're doing something you enjoy? I think that'd actually be the way. I need a new lockdown way of working out. So I think being Spider-Man would be a good way. And obviously the other benefits. But as we've established in the first question, I'm selfish. So I'm just going to use them for myself. And that'd be me. So what are my weaknesses be, I suppose? Feel free to speak freely.
All of a sudden we're just muted and booted.
You're fired.
Keane's just in the waiting room right now. Ready to
Keane with the hot tag.
Oh, the weakness one is a tough one. Like, so this is how someone can take advantage, like, and win. Yeah.
Dom went on mute at a good time. Ah, system issues, man. System issues.
maybe that's your weakness. IT issues.
Fucking tech. Yes. All right. Tech. That's fair. That's yeah. No, that has been my absolute undoing. We've had to have a Zoom meeting full of people watching me struggle today. I thought I had it. Turning subtitles off is apparently a weakness of mine. As you've had the experience. Thanks, Simpsons WWE. Apologies if we didn't kind of get to it there. I forgot what answer I was thinking of. Clueless Nerd got on and asked, is there anything you picked up again this lockdown? I've started playing Pokemon Go again for a while on daily walks, and it's been a massive benefit mentally over the last few weeks. So we've touched on this, but again, like, lockdown is continuing, so that the things we do to help us kind of manage get old and we have to come up with new things. Is there anything recently that you picked up, Katie?
I've really been trying to get back into reading again. I used to be such a good reader. I used to be at least a book a week. And then the more I got into podcasts and TV shows and stuff, it just fell by the wayside. So I've just finished Tina Fey's autobiography. That was really good. I have Amy Poehler's downloaded because I like to read about comedians and actors and actresses and stuff especially. And I'm in the middle of one by Danny Wallace called Fuck You. And it's basically about how society is becoming less polite as time goes on and why this is. It's so interesting. So, yeah, I'm trying to get more into reading the best I can.
Interesting. Interesting. Dom, is there anything you've picked up over lockdown?
There's not really anything like in particular that I've picked up, but like, I've been really, really trying to be strict on like tracking my macros and calories and stuff like that and trying to make myself go for a walk every day, because like, I got really, really lazy the first two lockdowns. Like, the first lockdown was the worst because I was on what I like to call the Adam Farrell sleep schedule, where I sleep till about 4 in the afternoon and then I stay up till about 6 in the morning. And I just got the switch as well. I know. I just got the switch as well. And like 20 games for it, because I got the 350 a week because I was laid off. But yeah, for this one, like, I've gotten really, really productive compared to the last two. Like, just tracking what I eat and like going on walks and working out and stuff. There's nothing like in particular. Like, I've just been gaming, watching wrestling.
Nice, nice. Solid lockdown, to be fair. Kento says, sleep till 4, go rob a donut, stay up till 6. Just cackling evilly about your crime. I've started something, but it's not actually starting something, but I intend to do it so much that it actually has become a hobby in itself, if that makes sense. So what I've thought is, I'd love to, like, I love playing music and stuff like that, like, and a DJ and stuff like that. And I used to be quite good at the piano, and I've always intended to get back into playing it and actually learn how to be good. And as motivation, what I've started watching is kind of like complex, like, videos of cover songs that I want to play, like even like dance songs or old rap songs and stuff like that. And haven't got a keyboard yet. Like, I'm still planning that part out, but I'm looking at the videos like so solidly that like I feel like as soon as I get it, it's just literally just plug and play. I'm just good to go. I know exactly what to do. And I think I'm just going to be like Mozart as soon as that keyboard arrives. I just have to actually go about ordering it but for now it's just an intention. But one again, I did it today, I did it yesterday, and I'm going to keep doing it. And one day I'm going to come on here and I'm going to be like, request a song, please. And then I just won't play. I'll just have tech issues because I spent all my time looking up YouTube videos. Kendo says he's pretty much the same as Dom all the way down to the Switch. I think a lot of people are like this.
Not like that anymore.
But you can be productive like and still have a lot of time. There's a lot of hours in the day. You can have a productive day and still be like, I've still watched TV for 8 hours today.
Yeah.
because there's a long time. Thanks for the question there, Adam. Declan got on and asked, we're nearly a year into the pandemic. How is your mental health and stress levels? Any tips on dealing with stress? I was doing okay, especially with the thought of a vaccine available for summer, but seeing videos of the protests on Saturday put me right back in a depressed mood. Sorry to hear, Declan. Hopefully we can be of some help. Katie, how's your kind of mental health and stress levels with the pandemic now, as we're kind of deep into lockdown three?
I was generally okay with the first two lockdowns, and then the third lockdown, like that got me. Like we talked about it a little bit, like over the last few weeks. Like I don't know what it was. Nothing in my life changed. It was just kind of the news of a third lockdown. I was just kind of like it pulled me down. I think it was just in my head. I was so sure like this would not go beyond a year, that the thought of like a year COVID anniversary just absolutely threw me for a loop. I'm the kind of person the weather affects a lot as well. So like, I think I was fine during the first two lockdowns because I was literally outside all day. Like I'd get up at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning and I'd just be gone for the day. I'd be out in the garden or I'd be walking and stuff. Couldn't necessarily do that in the cold. And then I started off this year sick for about two and a half weeks. So I think it just like, it took me a while to get back on track. Like I'm not going to lie. A lot of my friends now are getting the vaccines because they work in nursing homes and in hospitals. So that's kind of giving me a boost. They're like reporting back, like good news. You know what I mean? Nice. Like they're kind of perking me up. So it's back on the upward slope. But like, yeah, no, it definitely got me there with that third lockdown news.
Dom, what about yourself? How are you getting on?
Yeah, like Katie was saying, I think everyone can kind of agree this has been the worst lockdown so far. But I think I'm doing better than I was at the start of it, because a few of us from Fight Factory, we have like this gym group chat. We all go to Fight Fit. There's like six or seven of us in this group chat. And we're like I was saying a few minutes ago about like tracking calories and macros and stuff. Everyone like pops in their, like their counts for macros and stuff at the end of the day. And like, that's really been helping, I think. And people put in their workouts and stuff like that. And yes, Adam Farrell is in it, by the way. That provides the entertainment. But that's been really helpful. I think if it weren't for that, I'd be in a much worse place. I think more than anything as well, like I'm more excited for wrestling now than I was the first two lockdowns. Because I think the first lockdown, I was like, this is a bit of a summer holiday kind of feel. Then the second one, I was just like, all right, just waiting for Christmas. But now I'm just like, I just want wrestling. That's all I want right now. I just want wrestling to be back. And like I'm watching more than I was like this time last year.
Nice. A thing that kind of is going under the radar, because it's not something you promote, and to be honest, I don't think people necessarily en masse want to hear it kind of shoved in their face, but it deserves calling out. I think is just how adorable Fight Factory has been in like everyone supporting each other and just making sure they're getting through it. Like every day in the little kind of training group they have, everyone's just like putting up a message going, hope everyone's okay, if you need to talk, blah, blah, blah. And just like, again, not being kind of, because for me, I find people who are like, you got to stay positive, man. You've got to like do this and do that and the other. And like, are just super positive about it. I find that quite irritating because I feel like we all need to acknowledge that it's shit. And like, even with the little message that people send, they're like, I realize you might be having a good time, but if you need something, I'm here. And it's really nice kind of support network that they have for each other. Again, it's not something, there's no reason to promote it like or anything like that, but I think it should be called out that it's a nice story, and it's a good news thing that's kind of coming from wrestling, showing the better side of wrestling at a time when we may not hear about that like indie wrestling. There's a lot of good that goes on there too, and there is some good stuff happening within Fight Factory, so great to hear that. Declan, sorry to hear that kind of you're going through that. For me, the toughest lockdown was lockdown one. And the reason was I was living at home in a situation that wasn't meant to last that long. And it just kind of got trapped and it wasn't working for me or anyone else, like, because we're all just kind of mashed into this situation we weren't expecting. So I'm finding this easier than that because I have freedom. And I've when I moved into my new place during lockdown, not during lockdown two, but like kind of in that break we had during the summer, I kind of made it lockdown proof straight away because I was anticipating like, what if something like this happens? So I'm kind of doing better myself. But I also feel the same as a lot of people. Like there's this kind of never going to end style of it, even though we know it will. And even though we're kind of getting like, look,
England look like they're going to be out of it in May. America look like they're going to be out of it in May, June, July. We're probably going to be around the same time as well. I know it's slow now, but we will catch up because it's just going to start getting easier and easier. And that's been the way we have experienced that before. We're coming out of lockdowns where like it feels like forever, and then the improvement happens very, very quickly because we just get better at dealing with things. So it will end. And I think that's important to remember as well. But I was talking to someone about this. I was actually talking to someone that I work with and kind of helping them out and supporting them. And what I was going into was stuff like they were talking about, like, and I won't get into kind of obviously their personal stuff, but like, it's a good kind of example of stuff you can do. So they were kind of getting into like, well, this is happening and this is happening and I'm getting quite stressed and I'm finding it difficult to sleep. And then it's having a knock-on effect on my job. And what I kind of went in, I was like, okay, so right, you're attaching the first two things to the fact that, you know, you're stressed and you're not sleeping. And that's actually the problem. So like, let's like, and this is the thing that I feel we don't do with mental health that we do with physical health. So for example, if I get a cold, for example, I'll treat the cold, I'll treat the symptoms. So I'm like, I'm going to have Lemsip, I'm going to do this. Whereas if it's something mental where I'm stressed or I'm anxious, we all tend to blame it on the world and everything else. We push it out and we don't necessarily treat the symptoms. And we say, I need the world to get fixed for me to feel better. Do you know what I mean? Which isn't actually how, like, remember, mental health is just health. You deal with it, in theory, we should deal with it the exact same and treat the symptoms. So when I was like, all right, so there's this situation that's going on with the world and everything else that you have no control over. And then there's this other situation where you're stressed and you can't sleep. Do you think that it would be possible if you were to focus on the stress and sleep side of things? And how would we go about dealing with that? And then we looked into different options like Headspace and like this and Calm and sleeping apps and stuff like that people could use and things like that. And it's like, okay, well, now the problem has been broken down into something that you can actually manage, because it seemed unmanageable when it was like, I need lockdown to be over. But now it's like, oh, actually, I need to just deal with the stress and sleep a little bit and I'll feel a lot better. And what's going to happen then if you start, you know, feeling less stressed? You'll start to feel better. You'll start to deal with the situation a lot more, and then everything will flow the way you want it. So like, again, it's just more in terms of like, when we're in a mental state, just remember to treat it like a physical illness, because there's nothing wrong with feeling how you're feeling. A lot of the planet is, it's totally natural. But if you try treat the symptoms instead of attaching the symptoms to the situation, which is, again, it's totally natural to do. We all do it. But that'd be a good tip that I'd see, because then you'll start to see, right, so my issue is I'm a bit depressed about this. So what can I do about the depression specifically? And then go from there. And see if it kind of helps. I don't know, like, I can't really get into it one-to-one with you because we're on a podcast, a lot of people listening and whatnot, but that'd be a good way to start and kind of look at it and break it down into small little manageable ways you can handle it. And then you'll see that the other side of it, it's like, oh, lockdown is still the same, but I'm feeling better about it. And we've all had those peaks and troughs where we're in the exact same situation, but now it's okay. And then the next week it might be shit, but just like, again, acknowledge it's shit and it will be over one day, hopefully soon. Okay, so we have some interesting stuff in the chat as well. We have Dave got on, said, lockdowns didn't affect me as such, but for the first time I experienced a few. I hope you don't mind me reading this out, by the way, Dave. I hope you're okay with this putting in the chat. Okay, so I experienced a few anxiety attacks due to other reasons. Perhaps cabin fever from lockdown was a factor, but I look back at it as one of the smaller factors. This happened in mid-January, but feeling fine now and look back at it as a life-changing experience. Adaptation is the key for me. So fair play to you, Dave, for sharing that. Glad to hear you're doing better. Kendo says a vaccine is a big, big focus for me. September is the target. So look, again, we are looking, again, it feels like a long way away. The messaging we're getting makes it feel even longer at times, especially with it being so all over the place and just doesn't seem under control. That can be scary and stuff like that. But remember, we're in a position where the end is in sight. Okay. And everything about the vaccine says it's working in other countries. There's going to be enough of it.
So we will get past this and we'll be on the other side, and I hope you're doing better. Thanks for reaching out, Declan, though. It's really good to talk about it, really good to acknowledge it, and kind of hope that some of the chat that we've had and shared from the other listeners has helped somewhat. Ross Camden got on with an interesting question and said, do the pros outweigh the cons of social media or vice versa, Twitter specifically? Dom, what do you think yourself?
I think just, I don't know, like, I've kind of limited my Twitter to like people I want to see. Like whenever I see something that I don't want to see or someone that I don't follow that I don't really want to see on my feed, I just mute them. I have like 40 to 50 people muted now. And I think when you do that, the pros actually do outweigh the cons, because I literally just see like the stuff and AEW stuff now and like the stuff that I actually want to see with like the odd Fight Factory tweet. So like, I miss out on like all the drama and stuff like that. Like obviously I seen the Randy Orton Soulja Boy thing, but that was just funny for me. But it's actually not that bad when you pretty much just limit on who you're following. Like I don't follow that many people compared to like this time last year. Like I followed way more people. I think you just have to kind of cut what you're following and what's on your timeline for that to happen.
Okay, Katie, this is something we've spoken about on the air. That's obviously been something you've made choices recently to kind of look after yourself and kind of deprioritize Twitter and stuff like that. So I imagine you've got stuff to say on this question.
Yeah, like for me, this is very much tied to the last question about the stress and anxiety levels, because obviously when I kind of went into a bit of the tailspin about lockdown, being on social media wasn't helping me, because whatever was coming up on my feeds across a lot of different platforms was like just an echo chamber of, and I don't want to say negativity, because I think negativity has its place. I think negativity can breed good things. But I, like we've talked about this about me before, in that like I take on a lot of things I read, I see, and when I speak to people, sometimes I can be like a bit of an emotional sponge. And that was kind of happening to me again, where it's just, even if it's not my problem, if I'm getting upset reading it, I will take a little bit of that on. So I just felt like I needed to kind of step away from Twitter for a while and just like almost like reprogram myself. And like, I completely agree with Dom. It's about who you follow, all the rest of it. I think I just hit a limit though, where even like one tweet was just kind of sending me into like, you know, like a bit of a tailspin, where I was like, okay, I just need to log off now. Because I don't just use Twitter for wrestling either. Like I use it for a few different communities and fandoms and stuff like that. And it just seemed like each of the things I was interested in all had their own little issues. And then even when you're kind of going on like Facebook and Instagram, like you're seeing pictures of, well, there's my niece who I can't see regularly. There's my parents who I can't go see regularly. You know what I mean? So even when you're seeing the positive stuff on social media, when you're in that kind of negative headspace, it takes on negative connotations and you're just kind of reminded of the stuff that you're missing out on as well. So for me, it was just a lot at once. It was just like a couple of different waves crashing. So I've been off Twitter for about 2 weeks now, and I'm not really using my other social media. I use Instagram stories as well, just because, I mean, if you go for a run and you don't take a picture, does it really count? So I'm still using Instagram stories to kind of keep myself accountable. And what I do on Instagram as well is I'm trying to take pictures of different sites that I find on my walks. And it's just another little lockdown habit that kind of keeps me focused. I'll deliberately go and be like, okay, I want to go see this thing today and I'm going to take a photo and I've done something. I can tick that off my list. So, but other than that, I've just had to take social media out of my life for a little while. I will come back to it because I do think there is pros to it. Dave asked, do I use TikTok? TikTok is the one platform I have stayed on obsessively. I'll admit that.
I've never used it.
Oh, you're missing out. That is one where I have pretty much tailored what I see to like pure joy. You know what I mean? All I see is animals, dance routines, stuff like that. So that's my favorite one at the minute. It's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter that I've had to kind of remove myself from. But I think it's no harm to have like a social media break every once in a while for your mental health. And as I said, I will come back to it because I do think there is pros and stuff. Like for Twitter, I love interacting with people. I love making jokes. I love seeing jokes. I love, you know, like, I love that little connection to maybe celebrities and stuff I look up to. You know what I mean? I like knowing what Lady Gaga's had for breakfast. You know, I had the same thing, you know, like I like that kind of interaction too. But yeah, so there is pros and cons. Right now I'm on the con side of it, so I'm just going to take myself off for a little while.
Definitely don't think there's ever lockdown, yeah. I definitely don't think there's ever I don't think it's ever a bad idea to have a circuit breaker. I don't think anyone could ever turn around to say to someone, no, you shouldn't have done that or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's always a good, if you think it's a good idea, it's a good idea. For me, yeah, I did a podcast kind of going into this during the week. If anyone got a chance to listen, it was about basically, it's called So Your Friend Is a Nazi, but actually what it goes into is the things that influence us and how they influence us and how, like, it's similar to a lot of this, how like we're kind of attached to our phones and like the algorithms our phones play to keep our attention and keep us looking and scrolling and liking. Sometimes it actually mightn't be positive, because like if you think of things that stop you in the street and stop you from like walking like down the street, it could be like two drug addicts beating the head off each other. Do you know what I mean? That's what catches your attention, and that's what your phone is trying to grab. And it's not actually a good side of you or a side that you necessarily want to be, but it does grab your attention, and your phone doesn't care if it's good for you or not. So it's important to remember that, like again, we are ultimately in control for the algorithms, but we have to be aware of it as well. And kind of, again, kind of coupling up on what both of you guys have said, like limit your intake. I don't see wrestling drama unless you guys point it out to me, and then I can go look for it in my own time when I'm kind of ready for it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you guys say, did you see that? Not necessarily specifically you, but I'll get texts of other people as well. It's like, did you see this thing? And I'm like, I don't care. And I've gotten good at going, I don't care about this. I will look it up in 4 hours, but right now I don't give a shit and I don't want it. I'm not in a good headspace for it. So I've done similar and kind of muting and limiting who I follow or who I have muted or whatnot. Because again, like if we're like, again, what I think is important though is not going to necessarily, while it's good to take breaks from the medium, I think we should like also remember that we made the medium that way. We chose to follow all these things, we chose to do all these things, and we can also, because not in terms of like blaming ourselves, but in terms of like realizing that we can unmake them and we can make them better if we like. So like we can, you know, if you want the, again, Katie, like you're saying with TikTok, you've catered it so that it's just your own little like center of joy, you know. And that's TikTok is very algorithm based, because it's like it bases on like how long you watch something. So if you don't watch something, if you just scroll past it, it'll go, right, you don't like those type of videos, we're gonna give you more of these and these and these. So we literally create these things. So it's important as well to go, well, why did I create that? And what was going on? And what can stop that? And what do I actually want? And again, taking these circuit breaks like Katie is, where it's like, okay, I'm going to reevaluate for a while. And then you can go back to Twitter with like a fresh outlook, and you can go, right, what do I want? What don't I want? What are the goals from Twitter? You know, and you can then create a better world. Like, because if you do get stuff from Twitter, there's no point in getting rid of it altogether. Or you just might say, huh, I don't need Twitter. I'm actually really happy without it. And that can be your circuit break instead. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. Geez, we're having the deep chats this week, lads. Usually yeah. It's just shite about Adam Farrell and how he's a criminal. And we've got a bit of that, to be fair. Owen Davis got on and I found this very funny. He said, I've recently got into building Lego sets. What wrestling inspired Lego sets would you like to see? I'd love a collection of famous stages like the SmackDown Fists or certain WrestleManias. And he included pictures of the sets. But like when I first look at this, I thought that he'd made these sets. And I'm like, they're amazing. But they're just pictures of real sets. The SmackDown Fist is a great one. I'd love to see that made. Yeah. And come to mind for you guys.
Yeah, I was thinking of, you know, like sometimes like Stone Cold like drove down to the ring with like the beer truck and like Kurt Angle and his milk truck. Like, can we make Lego versions of all these trucks that people drive around and like the tanks and stuff? That would be savage.
Little like crappy hose, like it'd be hilarious. Dom, what you think? Getting come to mind?
Something just popped into my head there. Do you remember like 97, 98 Raw, like the intro where it was like Stone Cold Steve Austin walking into a warehouse and there was like a ring in the warehouse with like the whole roster fighting and like the ropes were on fire and stuff?
Was that recreation?
No, oh. It's the intro for Raw. Raw
what do you
War.
Mean? Do you remember 1997? You were 2 years old, Dom. How do you remember it?
I'm currently binge watching 97 Raws.
All right, okay.
But yeah, that a recreation of like that warehouse with the ring and like all the wrestlers and stuff would be cool, I think. Just popped into my head there.
I'm not very good at Lego, so my answer is the Big Sean, because it's just chipboard. So it's literally just putting blocks on top of each other and going, the Big Sean, hey! thanks for your question, Owen. Dave says the stage where Rey Mysterio or Hiromu could leap from at the hole of the entrance gas. Joe Stodd's last question got on and said, have you ever met a serious criminal? One of the members of my apartment complex's board of directors murdered his wife and threw her body off a cruise ship. Had a few interactions with him over the years, was always a strange man and disliked by many neighbors. And then he leaves like an actual headline involving this person saying, Dublin man faces life in jail on charges of murdering and hiding wife's body after she vanished on cruise ship holiday. Jesus Christ, Joe. Jesus, this is another question where like your life is just more entertaining than any answer we can give.
Say Adam Farrell. I can't top that. I just can't.
Poor Adam's name's been dragged through the dirt. He's not actually a criminal, guys, okay?
And we're not saying he's worse than Joe's example either. He's just the closest thing to a criminal that we know. That distinction needs to be made.
Not a criminal.
As far as we know.
Please don't sue us, Adam. Yeah, okay. Allegedly. I'd lived with a criminal at one stage. I'm not going to get too into the story, but I lived with him. He was like a housemate. He was terrified of the doll coming over. And he once threatened a friendly neighbor who knew us from wrestling, who was wearing a lanyard from his work. And because your man just saw the lanyard, he's like, you're bleeding social welfare. Get the fuck away. No one lives here. No one lives here. And I'm like, you realize that shouting no one lives here is not what happens in a house that no one lives in. It was literally daily stuff like that. I wrote a pilot of a TV show that came in second on a Sky One fucking commission thing. And it was just my life at that time. And I may still use it one day, so I won't get too into it, but I've lived with one. At one stage, he told us a story one day about how he got let out of rehab too early, ended up relapsing on the way home, getting off his head, forgetting which apartment that he lived in, going into the wrong apartment. This wasn't when we lived there, but like this is an old story he had. Going into the wrong apartment, there was a Chinese couple who lived there. Your man came home, the person that I lived with thought that he was getting burgled, took a scissors that was on the table and stabbed the guy.
Oh my God.
Wow.
In his own home. Horrific stuff. I got the fuck out of there. Like one day it was literally like he was gone and I literally had a car down there where I'm like throwing stuff in the fucking car and going, I left a note and I'm like, bye. Never contact me again. It was a fairly intense stage in my life.
Jesus.
Yeah. Dave says, I used to work in Tesco in Temple Bar where the scary security guard we had was charged for assault on one of the staff. Jesus Christ.
Oh, that is my local Tesco when I'm in work, Dave, and I fully believe that story from the things I have seen there.
Jesus. Not about, like, there's always stuff going on there.
Oh, there's always scraps gone in it. Yeah, that is a rough Tesco.
I do not miss working in security. Guys, that's all your questions. Thanks as always. Oh, no, wait. We have one from Flying Brian Grillman. Thoughts on title defenses. Should titles be defended every month or should they be defended less frequently, 3 to 4 times a year? We'll do lightning round on this one. Katie, your own thoughts.
3 to 4 times a year.
Okay. Dom?
I don't know how we can do lightning round for this, but I think Roman Reigns' Universal title is a really good example because he only defends it on pay-per-views with like the odd SmackDown. Mm. I think for like the Intercontinental US title, they should be on Raw or SmackDown like more often being defended, but not too much, if that makes sense, unless there's like an open challenge kind of gimmick. But yeah, like a world title, Universal title should be like a pay-per-view, I think, just so it's special.
I think for, yeah, I see in US titles, there should be a mandate where it's defended once every 30 days. So you have to vacate it because they're the workhorse titles and like you have to earn them, like they're a secondary belt. So to give them meaning and purpose, it has to be interior defended as close to every week as possible and having great matches. And that's how you earn your stripes to be a world champion where you can call your shots. For the world championship, I think there should be something tangible that gets you to earn a title shot, unless it's a grudge match. And I think if someone like accepts a grudge match, like it should be a big deal where it's like, holy shit, skipping towards the end, the top of the queue. And I think as well, WWE don't nearly utilize enough the fact, consider that UFC has three title matches on it this weekend, UFC 259. And that's a huge, huge deal because they never have three title matches. There's so many different belts, but having a title match is a big deal. I think that should be how WWE use their world championships. And I include the women in this as well, where maybe there's one or two championships defended on a like a fast lane. And then the other champions may be involved in matches or stories that build up the big championship match they're in. I see no reason for Roman Reigns to wrestle on fast lane now that the Edge match has been announced. Because we know what it's going to be. We know Daniel Bryan's isn't going to win, you know? So it's like it's a redundant title defense and it makes it seem more special if it's defended rarer and it just lets you ramp up to the Edge match. Could be Edge versus Daniel Bryan defending the Royal Rumble. I'd go that way before I'd go the title that needs to be defended because we know which way it's going to go. So I'd say trend towards rarer, not every month. I think you should definitely go sparingly. Anyway, thank you guys for your questions. Now we're going to fly through some thoughts on this week's Walking Dead. Guys, there will be spoilers. Yep. If you are watching or if you don't want to or if you're not following along, feel free to stop listening. That's no problem whatsoever. Or if you don't want to be spoiled by all means, but we will be talking about spoilers right up to this episode. Katie, your first time watching the weekly shows, how did it sit with you?
It's hard because like we've waited this long and I absolutely love Maggie. She's one of my all-time favorite characters, but I'm just like, are we really not going to check in on King Ezekiel? Are we not going to see what's happening with Rosita? Like, you know what I mean? I was just like I have to wait another week to check in on them. It's really frustrating because I'm so used to binge watching. I'm so used to five episodes in a row. Even the ad breaks, I was just like, so what do we do now? You know? So it was a bit rough.
You know, you can watch like 15 minutes afterwards and then just skip the ad breaks.
I can't because I watch it on the Sky app. So I can only watch it either when it's gone on to catch up or watch it live.
Oh shit, yeah, no, that's a good point because I started at a quarter past especially for that purpose. Dom, what were your thoughts? Like, obviously Katie's like, we've waited so long. By so long she means 5 days. Dom, you've waited months for this episode, and even then that's after one episode that we had to wait months for. So I take it a bit more seriously from yourself. What were your own thoughts?
Well, actually, this is the first time I've been watching it live since season 6, I think, because I kind of stopped and I was like in and out of it for a while, but I properly caught up the last time I binge watched it, and I'm so happy I'm here for like the last season. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed this episode, even from the start where Maggie sees Negan and then she storms off and he just goes, oh shit. I love that. It properly sets the scene. And then the scene as well at the end where he's just looking at her walk into Alexandria. And I'm just so excited to see what happens.
Because his time is up. That's what's up.
Oh, no. Nah. It was a really, really good episode, I thought. Like, they properly set the stage for what's going to happen going forward. Like, I'm really curious to see what happens with the Reapers. Is that what they're called?
Mm. Was it just me, though? Like, when they're like, oh no, it's the Reapers. I'm like, I can't.
On to the next.
Yeah, I was like, I can't do another storyline. Like, I remember, like, when I was getting a bit sick of The Walking Dead, I'm like every season of The Walking Dead ever. But what if humans were the real problem? And it's just like constantly, it's like the Whisperers, the Saviors, now the Reapers. And it's like, not only that, but like,
Okay, right. You want to be in a stable, right? Okay. The world has ended and everyone's like, right, what am I going to do with the apocalypse? Form a wrestling stable. Okay, that's a fair choice. I'm not judging your choice. I may do the same thing myself. But they're all really uncreative with their names. Like, I don't like the something format. You know what I mean? It's like the corporation, the union, the corporate ministry. It's like, yeah, it's like, come on, like, come up with something different. You know what I mean? Be like TBA. And we'd be like, we're Travis, Billy, and Adam. You know what I mean? And then just go that way. Like, and like get interesting. Like, the names are just really incredible. And to be honest, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's just, I would have liked a different twist. And I can accept, fair enough. You've got 6 episodes you want to get through and you want it to feel familiar, and ultimately the big payoff is probably going to be Maggie against Negan. That's what they're setting up ultimately. Okay, I can live with the fact that they have another set of baddies that are humans here. You know, you have a new stable that the good guys have to fight off. Fair enough. I hope the last season isn't like this. I hope they just get rid of the Reapers in these few episodes, and then the last season is just something different. You know what I mean? Just a different form of conflict. Because I get that they have to have zombies, and they, like, part of the thing is fighting and zombies, and there have to be unpredictable situations. So you need to add a source of tension in there. But, and even then, what about Eugene and all? They're involved with yet another stable. You know what I mean?
Commonwealth.
Yeah. And like, even then, that's going to be like, are they there? You can probably guess, like, they've set them up as like, oh, are they bad? But they're probably going to be good. You know what I mean? It's probably going to be like the do you know the girls who, like, where it was just the all women's, like, kind of island? I'd say it'll be like them, where at first they're like, get the fuck away. But then they're like, oh, we've been hurt before. and that's kind of where they go. But even then, it's like you've got 2 sets of storylines and they both involve, oh, who are these strangers coming to kill us? You know, it's like, give me something new, you know?
You know what I hope they do, like, just along them lines? Wasn't it really exciting when the Whisperers were coming in and we thought the zombies had evolved?
Yes. Yeah.
And you were like, I would lost my shit and I was like, oh my God, this changes everything.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't it be so cool if that was what the last season was about? If the zombies were back to being the threat and somehow they had managed to evolve, or someone had managed to weaponize them or something, you know? That'd be, because, like, I loved season 9 where the whole first half was just dealing with building a bridge, and it was just about their interpersonal conflict, you know, rather than like big groups against each other. I totally get that, and I don't know if you'll find a villain better than Alpha. I don't think it'll be done at this stage. I would like that as well, for something just completely different for the last season.
What do we think of the kind of the action though? Like, we got kind of the sniper element was cool. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was cool.
Getting sniped in the woods, I really enjoyed that. And it's like, okay, fair enough. Seeing Maggie, I liked kind of I watched The Talking Dead, by the way, because I knew we'd be discussing it. So I'm like, right, I'll get a bit of context. And I noticed that kind of, sorry, what's her name? Kelly she's also deaf as well. I didn't know that. That's absolutely mad. Yeah. Like,
yeah, she's hard of hearing. She's slowly going deaf.
That's insane. So was that a real story? Because Katie, I know you've kind of fanboyed out, like, now. So is that like a real story that, like, they just decided to turn that into part of her character, or was it always the plan? Or do you know what
I'm not sure if she exists in the comics or not. I've been reading a certain amount what happens in the comics, what happens in the TV show, but I think I'm going to start the comics, so I don't want to read too much into it. But yeah, so I'm not sure about her character, if she pre-exists or if they made her just for the TV show.
Okay, comics are really good. I read up to where Negan starts to talk to, in the comics he talks to Carl, not Judith. I won't tell you what happens, like, but he talks to Carl, not Judith. So, that's where I got to. But when he's in prison, basically, like, it's a similar set of storyline. And like, the comics are very good. There's a lot of fucked up shit that you're like, they couldn't do that in the TV show. That's mental. Like, I'd love to see it kind of go left like that, because as happy as I was to have it back and to have event TV on Monday, I kind of felt like, we're back doing this again. You know what I mean? Not in a bad way. Like, I like the world and I like the show and it's told well, but there was an element of that. Is that just me, Dom? Am I getting a bit fatigued with it, or did you kind of get that?
No, because, like I said, like, this is my first time, like, catching up with it again. So, okay. Like, I was excited, but on it might feel different like the next week. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to just wait and see.
Yeah. What are we making the new characters? So you have kind of, I liked the guy who kind of bonded with Kelly. Mm. It'd be interesting.
In the mask? Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to have her as, like, I don't know why, but I thought, again, this is probably stupid, but I didn't even realize she was straight. Like, I never thought of her in kind of a romantic sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would be interested to see if she could get, I don't know if it's even a romantic development, but like it felt like it could go that way. You know what I mean? Mm.
Do you think they revealed him a bit quickly though?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because he's been a pure badass in the few times we've seen him, like, you know, with Kama chopping people's heads off, and then all of a sudden he loses his nerve and has to be.
He's just crying.
Yeah, pep talk by someone he's just met. Like, I don't know. I think he's such a cool character. They could have maybe strung that out for a week or two.
Mm. Did we get bad guy vibes or potential future bad guy vibes off the other guy that's in Maggie's camp? Or is that just me?
Damien Sandow.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like he's got very set ideas about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Because right now, he might be in love with Maggie. Because he's very much like, Negan killed her husband. Like, just, you know, like, very much like he would do anything for Maggie. Like, he understands. He seems to understand a lot of the dynamics without ever having met them. You know, maybe he's in love with Maggie. And I don't know. Yeah, there's going to be something. I like him so far, though.
Yeah.
Last but not least, let's talk about Herschel.
Yeah,
it was he looks like Glenn.
My heart,
the image of Glenn.
Yeah, yeah.
The little baseball cap. You know, it's just too much. I'm so glad I didn't watch teasers or spoilers, because when I was on Reddit afterwards, people were complaining that the whole episode was spoiled because he was in teasers. So it kills the suspense of is he alive or not? And like, I just love that was our first meeting with him. You know,
It was adorable. Because, like, as stupid as it sounds, okay, I somehow forgot that, like, he was half Asian. Do you know what I mean? So it hit me so much more. Do you know what I mean? Because you're just expecting, I'm like, I don't know what I'm expecting here. What age is he? I forget the timelines. So is he going to be a teenager? Is he going to be a cute kid? Like, what age is he going to be? And, like, I'm trying to think what he's going to look like. And I forgot that he was half Asian. And so when I saw him, I'm like, Glenn. oh my god and like, whatever criticism I'd make of the episode, I thought that was an awesome reveal. And I was like, he's a dead ringer for Glenn, and it's just like, it got me. What do we want to see next week, Dom? Like, where do you want to, do you want to see the continuation of Negan Maggie, or do you want to see us go and see what the story is with the Commonwealth, or kind of where do you want to see this kind of develop?
Well, like Katie was saying, I want to see what happens with Ezekiel and Rosita and all.
Yes, of course.
I'm dying to see what happens with the Commonwealth, because it's a very interesting setup, because like, there's so much potential for that storyline. But I have a feeling they might wait until the following week for that one, but I'm not too sure. I haven't like read up anything about it.
Mm. Katie, what about yourself? What's going on the what do you want to see? What's on the wish list for next week?
Like, I just want to check in on my favorite characters, which, like, at the moment is Ezekiel. And I really love that new character they brought in, Princess. I think she's, like, a little breath of fresh air. She's so funny. You know, and I think that's why I've been drawn towards Ezekiel as well, and Jerry, because they inject that little bit of humor into such a dark show. So, and Eugene as well is another one of them characters that injects comedy. So, like, I think they're a really good little grouping to have together. So I want to go back and see what they're doing. Like, I loved all their interactions. The scene in the minefield, that was so
funny.
That
was great, yeah.
Yeah, it was so funny. And I got such a sense of her character from that one episode. So, yeah, I'd like to go see what's going on there with them next week.
Did you notice that if you tweet with hashtag TWD, I know obviously Katie you're off of, but like, if you tweet with hashtag TWD, her face, a mini version of her face is what comes up.
She's the avatar thing.
Yeah. It's nuts. Like, so I'm like, I didn't see her as that big of a character, but obviously there's something that they know that we don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, interesting. And yeah, no, much needed dose of injection, because I can only take too much, like, well, what will we become? you know, yeah, like, when you take too much of that, like, you do need that dose of charisma. So looking forward to that. Also looking forward to seeing, I can't remember her name, but Kelly's sister as well, and kind of like all we saw was her getting carted off on the horse by that guy in the at the end of last season's finale. So again, she's alive, and there's that whole side of it as well. And what's going to happen there as well, and Daryl kind of getting his love interest back, because I think there was definitely a connection there. Loads to still look forward to. Solid first episode, like I really enjoyed it. I know I kind of nitpicked a little bit, but like I enjoyed the episode. I'm glad to have it back. I'm looking forward to more of these chats as the week goes on. Anyway, guys, look, we've talked for hours at this stage, as we are wont to do of a Wednesday. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you very much, as always, Katie Harvey, Dom Tuck. Thank you for joining us in the Zoom chat, guys. And in the meantime, we'll be back next week, wrapping up a Revolution. Get involved with live tweeting. Enter the Prediction League if you haven't already. And we shall see you next week for the main show and Ask Low Blows, where we will get back on track talking about the rest. And in the meantime, thank you very much, as always, and bye.